Critical thinking is a persistent effort to examine any belief or supposed form of knowledge in the light of the evidence that supports it and the further conclusions to which it tends. Critical mass is the point at which a reaction becomes self-sustaining. And we're live. All right, well, this is take two with the new equipment. And action!
Door blue.
Oh, let's not be like that. I wanted to lead with the numbers. You were telling me something surprising about Thor.
Well, it was number one for its weekend, but the previous weekend, Fast 5 debuted, and they made $86 million the first weekend. While Thor, on its opening weekend, being number one, only made like 66.
On opening weekend?
Yes, for it.
And
Fast 5 was number two with only like 50-some-odd million. It's made more still than, you know, Thor.
Than Thor.
And then this weekend, when Priest and them came out, Thor won.
Still.
Yeah, but it's still.
But the numbers were still down.
Always
and
down.
And is this typically, I don't know that I've paid enough attention to it, is this typically a season where movies decline in popularity like that?
No, it just wasn't that great.
Yeah, well,
Fast Five, gay, you know, it delivered.
Yeah.
And there's still that many fans. I mean, Thor,
yeah, well,
yeah. Because this week, the new Pirates movie debuts Friday.
Yes, looking forward to Pirates.
And that's the one that's supposed to, you know, the mark for summer movies.
Yeah, looking forward to Pirates. Petra's really looking forward to Pirates.
Take her there for her birthday.
I will. That's the plan. That's the plan. Those are my instructions. Put it that way. But no, I wanted to talk a little bit about Thor. I mean, I don't know that there's really a whole lot that we can say in the way of review. I think that by now anybody who has wanted to see the movie is going to have seen the movie.
Yeah.
You kind of feel that way, too?
Yeah, because, I mean, we wanted to see it. We saw it the opening weekend because we knew better. That's the only time.
Yeah.
Had to make the time.
Friday morning, there wasn't anything going to happen
before
Thor.
Yeah.
And, but yeah, I think kind of anybody who has wanted to see it has already gone to see it. And the rest of people are just kind of stragglers.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to kind of talk about what Thor did right and what Thor did wrong, and kind of where it fits into the upcoming scheme of Marvel movies. And probably the easiest thing we can do is start off with addressing that, because I think it speaks to the others. You made an interesting comment when right over that Thor was
the Avengers prequel.
Exactly.
That's what it is. That's what I got out of it. But I wasn't expecting much except cool Asgard. That's what I went for.
Yeah. Well, see, I was hoping for something more like Iron Man and Incredible Hulk. Both of them.
That was a minor wish, but I was like not expecting it because it wasn't the same guy directing it.
No, it really wasn't. And that speaks to what Thor did wrong, what happened wrong with the film. But yeah, it really did feel like a lead-in to the Avengers. And I think if you view it that way, it makes it a lot more palatable of a film. For me, anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because there's just so much left hanging. There's so much unresolved.
And some of it bullcrap.
And a lot of just horse crap.
Because I still say when Odin threw that hammer on Earth, the show went straight to Captain America.
Captain America.
Because the way they resolved that was bull.
Yeah, I don't know. Just a lot. I mean, it really felt to me like a TV pilot, like a pilot for a TV series.
True.
That's the kind of characterization we got. That's the kind of plot we got. That's the kind of thing. I mean, let's set up a whole bunch of stuff and not resolve anything except what we absolutely have to.
That's why it felt like a prequel to the Avengers more. It was a lead into the main stuff.
Lead into the, exactly. And, I mean, even the tag on the end with, do we want to spoil that? I don't see any way we can.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It
does. Even the tag on the end of the film when, Nick Fury unveils the Cosmic Cube, you know, which had me freaking out in the, the theater seat.
Yeah. Oh, a Cosmic Cube. Okay.
But,
oh,
I mean.
Smash. It's over. Let's go on.
Yeah. Even that felt like just the lead into something bigger and better.
Yeah, it's the prequel. That's all I felt like. I mean, Iron Man had a definite beginning and end.
Yes,
and then
exactly.
A little extra that didn't have to be.
Oh, yeah.
It was not, you know, it led, but it led to the Avengers, so it wasn't part of the movie, so it didn't screw it.
Right.
That's what those two little scenes were.
But I guess that leads into what happened, what went wrong with Thor? I mean, because this could have been another Iron Man. This could have been another Incredible Hulk.
Oh, yeah.
You know, something that just blew away the box office and made a new, you know, set a new standard for superhero films. And we pinpointed the very first thing was the director. Kenneth Branagh's talented guy, knows his business, but
I blame some on him and some on editing.
Editing.
Because there's stuff that you saw was cut out, and it's like, what happened here?
Oh, yeah, there was a ton of stuff in the trailers that was just cut. Yeah.
Yeah.
But no, like you said, Branagh's not a fan.
He's just a director, Shakespearean.
Just a director, yeah. He doesn't know superheroes. He doesn't know Thor. He doesn't know fandom.
I mean, he did admit he tried to stay true to the comic and the featurette stuff, but I'm like, oh,
No. I really don't think he did. I think he tried to make...
modified the history to make it, you know, the gods were mutants.
What it felt like... Well, no, that's part of Marvel cosmology.
Yeah, but that's what they're saying. They changed about it to make the movie.
In the feature, that's really part of Marvel cosmology. But no, it's he's not a fan. He doesn't know what a superhero film should be. It didn't feel like a superhero film that we would expect to see today. It felt a lot like something that we would have had expected to see in the 80s.
A sitcom.
It did. Sitcom superhero film.
Well, that's what it turned into when he hit Earth.
Every last freaking minute of time spent on Earth was sitcom.
Except for his
comic relief,
which took almost 5 minutes.
Yeah. And, you know, it just kind of left that was unsatisfactory.
No, yeah.
To see the guy behaving, you know, Hemsworth behaving like a buffoon and to be fair, they hit every single one of the running gags, they hit every single one of the comic beats, and they did it with clockwork regularity. It was a technically well-made film, but it was not up to the standard that we have come to expect. There were no big action sequences. We saw Asgard.
Yeah.
Did you like Asgard, Kurt?
Yes. The fight with the Frost Giants?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that was the best part, Asgard, seeing all those characters from, like, the cartoon movie stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was cool.
But, sadly, that's really all we got.
I mean, his redemption part on Earth, it was all Loki's fault because he came to him and lied.
Yeah, but see, that's Loki.
Yeah, but he was trying to make him not want to come back. He screwed up, but the way Loki portrayed it and told it, it was just like, okay.
Yeah.
You know, then all of a sudden we see he gets depressed, you know, and that's his turning point somewhat, but there's nothing more there.
There's no character development to speak of at all.
Get hammer, go.
Yeah, it's beat, resolution. And there's no character development. There's no reason to care about any of these people.
Mm-mm.
And, you know, that was my biggest disappointment in the film was the character of Loki. Because right there, we had such a great opportunity for Branagh to really develop a character who isn't really... You know, Loki, as portrayed in the film, isn't really a villain. I mean, he's not really an evil mastermind. He's no Red Skull, you know, no Dr. Octopus.
No, he's like that kid on a Lifetime movie that finds out these aren't his real parents. and then doesn't know what the hell to do. Because he didn't.
And he didn't. But see, Loki's thing has always been mischief. And they had a... Not evil, you know, he's not evil.
Yeah, like what he did with the Frost Giants, but letting them in and stuff. Because they knew in the end the weapon would stop them. But it was nothing to do, because that was his kicks.
That was his thing. And, you know, they had a great opportunity there to just let Loki get in over his head. And, you know, one lie leads to another, and pretty soon he's just so far in over his head that... he doesn't have anywhere else, you know, he can't do anything about it. There's nowhere else to turn except to Thor and to Odin, the people that he's been playing pranks on and all this other stuff. But, I mean, the character was just so bland and so inconsistently portrayed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was doing this because it was bad and then he was having fun and then he wanted... Dad's approval, and then he wanted to replace his brother, and
he was just up to go to the Frost Giants, start a war,
just all over the map.
You know, thing was, you didn't get that from him when he set it up. All you got was a guy talking normal to his brother.
Yeah,
there was no background to see how
there was no background.
Pissed off he was because we inferred that Loki let him in the Frost Giants.
Oh yeah, well.
But the problem was...
God of mischief, you know.
Yeah, but you didn't see it. If no one's familiar, no one gets it, they're just going to go, okay.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I mean, you know, there's nothing.
It wasn't led into.
You enough, or give you that one scene that tells you, you know, what his thoughts are. You know, like him ranting to maybe some peon he has in his castle.
Yeah.
But yeah. No, we don't even get that.
We didn't get anything. We didn't get anything. I mean, it seemed like he had one thing up his sleeve, and then it seemed like there was something else going on, and he was just all over the map.
He's the kid on the milk carton, and then it all went to hell.
Yeah. Just, what the heck?
And no reasoning behind it, you know. Because, I mean, he gets the Frost Giants in there to kill Odin, then he kills the Frost Giant trying to say, look, Dad, mm-hmm. I saved you. And
yeah.
But then he just...
And then he tries to destroy Asgard anyway, and... I don't know.
Well,
and you know what? That right there is Branagh's fault entirely. We can forgive him all of the fan stuff and all the superhero stuff, but for a dude who knows Shakespeare, he really ought to know how to portray a sympathetic villain. And this is what Loki could have been. He could have been a great sympathetic villain.
Yeah.
As it was, he was just flavorless.
Yeah, because we could have understood him then, but then we're just like riding along and seeing what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And why does he want to destroy the Frost Giant realm? That was what I didn't get.
What did they do to him?
Yeah, I mean, they're his people.
They are.
They found out, so why?
And it's not like any of this is really a surprise. I mean, this is based off of Norse mythology.
Yeah.
Anybody
you
who...
The movie, you don't get it.
Yeah.
That's the whole point. The story isn't delivered enough. You have
it's
to
not.
Know stuff to understand stuff.
I'm hoping that the... hoping against hope that there will be a director's cut that's... You know, adds in that missing 20 minutes worth of footage that, you know, just fixes everything, but whatever. Now, to be fair, Thor did a bunch of stuff right.
Hmm.
There were some things that we really, really enjoyed. The Asgard sequences.
Oh, yeah.
Holy
cool.
moly. That was awesome.
That was sweet.
The costuming was kind of funny. But, I mean, it looked kind of plastic, but it looked alien, and it was consistently done,
mm-hmm.
so that it didn't seem outlandish, it didn't seem out of place.
The hammer was cool looking.
The hammer was sweet,
perfect.
That was awesome. But
I mean, and Anthony Hopkins' Odin was damn good.
Hopkins did a great
it
job. Hemsworth
fantastic.
Did the best he could with what they gave him. And, we enjoyed the film. Well enough. It wasn't everything that I hoped it would be.
Cool trailers.
It was enough for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm glad I went to a matinee instead of an evening.
Yeah, I felt exactly the same way.
Because I would have felt a little bit robbed there.
Felt exactly the same way. But as a lead-in to everything else, I think it's just... It's really going to set things up.
Yeah, but it's also going to put that much more on the Avengers movie.
It is. The Avengers is going to have to be fan-freaking-tastic
to
make
to
up for this.
Good. They can't just throw them together, have them all do their little mini-missions or team.
Yeah.
You know, it has to be like The Avengers.
It's gonna have to be the Avengers. I'm really hoping that they do one of the classic Avengers storylines from the comic. And we'll see. With Joss Whedon directing, there's great promise there because he knows what he's doing in character development.
And we like what he does.
And he's a fan.
And we like what he does.
We like what he does. So, yeah.
He has not put out any much crap that the companies have not made.
There's a lot of promise there. Captain America looks freaking awesome.
Yes.
And that looks like it's going to be an excellent lead-in to the Avengers.
Yes.
And then, of course, Green Lantern comes out.
Yeah.
Which is going to be another one that we're really looking forward to. So stick around. And we'll be back when those hit theaters because, I don't know, I'm gonna be there Friday morning. You going to take another half day, Kurt? Only work 45 hours instead of 55?
When's Thor out? I mean, when's the next movie out?
I don't know. Lantern hits June. Mid-June.
Yeah, probably then.
Yeah, Green Lantern hits mid-June. But, you know, in the meantime, I would say if you haven't seen Thor, go see it. Don't rush to see it. But I think it's worth the price of a casual admission.
Excellent eye candy.
Very cool. I mean, they missed the mark. It's not really an action film. It's really kind of a sitcom.
It falls a sitcom.
It really kind of
it's
is.
It's serious. I mean, it is, but it's not.
Yeah.
It's not comic, but there is. I mean, but there's not. You know, it doesn't stick with one.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's more like a sitcom.
They try to do a day in the life of Thor kind of thing, and
yeah,
you know, whatever. There's enough there, but just barely enough.
Oh yeah.
Anyway, I had hoped for more. You know, Thor having its place in Marvel cosmology. Because do you have any history with Thor in the comics, Kurt?
No.
None at all.
Strict Norse mythology, and that's that.
Okay.
And what I saw in cartoons, what you and Greg told me, what I see in the movies. You know, that's it. So
you're coming at it from the Norse mythology standpoint, and you weren't disappointed. Did you see what you wanted to see?
Yeah, Asgard.
Asgard.
I mean, when he landed on Earth, there went, you know, straight comedy. A couple of scenes were cool, but, you know.
I came into Thor in the 80s and 90s when Tom DeFalco was writing and Ron Martz was writing. And so the Thor that I am familiar with that I wanted to see was really the you know, the thunderer, the superhero, the cosmic hero.
Yeah.
And we didn't get a storyline worthy of the characters. We got a personal development.
The reasoning why he's there and why he wants to be on Earth.
Yeah.
Why he will be a team Avenger. That is why.
He'll be an Avenger. Yeah. But Thor has remained one of my favorite Marvel icons since those DeFalco storylines.
That's true.
And they've done a whole bunch of different things with him in the comics over the years. I've kind of fallen away from that, but I think he's an Avenger with a lot of potential, and he's really one of the only Marvel cosmic characters that have that level of power, you know, that kind of cosmic, godlike stuff, and there's a lot that you can do with that as far as the big stories go.
Yeah.
So anyway, Loki looks to be the principal villain in the Avengers. That's promising. We'll see where they go with that. Cosmic freaking cube, baby. That's going to be awesome. And meantime, we got Captain America and Green Lantern to tide us over, and one or two other things coming out this summer. So, you know, keep an ear on the podcast for movie reviews. Guarantee we're going to see Cowboys versus Aliens. I didn't see Priest. Did you see it yet?
Not yet.
Not yet.
I want to go, but I
probably we'll get to that.
Memorial Day weekend is when I get to go.
Yeah, probably we'll get to Priest, but it's not going to be immediately. And there were one or two others that I'm really looking forward to.
Yeah.
But for the life of me, it escapes me. Yeah. Meantime, This is cool. Thanks for listening. We're going to be back on track after the great flood. The house and the yard and stuff's all finally dried out. We can get to and from again. Got some new equipment set up. You may have noticed a tangible, credible change in the audio quality. And I appreciate you guys sticking around for that. Meantime, find a movie or two that you like and let us know what we need to see. All right. Say goodbye, Kurt.
Bye.
Email at mindspike@criticalpressmedia.com.
This podcast is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike 3.0 license.